Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Robbie Knox, and I'm the landlord of The Moon Underwater, a mystical place where guests create their dream pub. Hello and welcome back to The Moon Underwater, where we are here with Vittorio Angeloni creating his dream pub, and it is a solid one so far with milk on at the bar available. Which I like, full fat also. Before the break, Dan, you were giving us the questions for your pub quiz, and it's now time for us to answer.
Yeah.
So I'll hand right back over to you.
So it's a translation quiz, and I'm doing breakfast orders in three different languages. Badly, because okay. I don't speak these languages. I'm doing my best.
Can I ask a question about how the marks will be allocated?
So for every foodstuff that you get correct, you will get 1 point. And for telling me what language I was speaking, you will get another point.
So is the number, if there's multiple things in there, are you getting multiple points for
yes.
that food stuff?
Yes. So there's lots. So each order has at least three things.
Okay. Is there any punishment for getting them wrong? Basically, no. As I'm saying, so you can just...
You can guess if you want.
You've just got to trust that people aren't just going to list all the breakfast things they know and hope they're right.
Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. I will say the first one has four foodstuffs.
So you can make four.
Okay.
Great.
Yeah. Wonderful. Okay. Just wanted to clarify that. Thank you.
So there's 5 points on offer for the first one.
That's good pub quiz pedantry.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I think that's really good, actually.
Otherwise...
Because this is something that would come up at the end, and teams would be shouting at the quizmaster and everyone going, but they just named every single breakfast food.
Yeah.
And he'd go, well, I didn't technically say that. Yeah.
I'm not a competitive man. I'm happy to lose, but I want to lose fairly.
You want to lose on a level playing field.
Exactly.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Okay. Take it away, Dan.
Okay. So 5 points on offer for the first one, four foodstuffs and one language. Okay. Lachs und Eier auf Toast mit Orangensaft. So let's go to you, Vittorio. We can trust Robbie. He's not just going to copy.
Can you say it one more time? Because I want to get clear in my head.
Yep. Lachs und Eier auf Toast mit Orangensaft.
Okay. I've got mine.
Okay. I'm going to note down the scores.
I've got toast and orange juice.
Yeah, I've got those.
Yep.
And I've guessed others.
Melon.
Okay.
And yogurt.
And
it's German.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've got German toast and orange juice.
Yes.
But I'm going to say, as a pure guess, bacon and eggs.
So Lachs is salmon.
Oh.
Lachs, which is a bit like lox, I guess.
Gravlax is a salmon thing, isn't
yes.
it? In some language or something.
And Eier is eggs.
Oh,
nice.
Wow. So extra point to Robbie.
Nice.
4-3 after round one. Very
yeah.
good. And it is German.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Well done. Okay. Question two has three foodstuffs. So it's 4 points on offer.
Okay.
Three foods and the language. Bacon to mame to kohi.
Shall I go
first?
Go first.
Wait, let me lock mine in before, so I don't steal any of yours.
Bacon to mame to kohi.
Yeah, I'll go for that.
One more time.
Bacon to mame to kohi.
I think this is... I'm just basing purely on the accent that you did rather than any knowledge of it. I'm going to say Italian, but I'm not convinced it is.
Okay.
I'm going to go for Italian.
Yeah.
It's definitely not, judged by your face. I'm in the mud here. I'm going to go bacon for the first one. I'm just going to go BLT sandwich.
Okay. Yep.
So bacon, all lettuce, right. Tomato.
Okay.
Don't think I'm right.
Vittorio.
I think bacon. I think... I get why you said tomato, but I think two is going to be and in whatever language this is, because there's two twos. It was two mammy. Two, so it's mammy, which I think is going to be milk. No, it's not. It's not, because it's going to be, I think, coffee, and then mammy is going to be something, and I'm going to guess that mammy is beans, and I'm going to guess that the language is Japanese.
Vittorio nailed it.
What, is that right?
That is 4 out of 4.
Oh my word.
That is so
wonder he was confident.
Even the two, and the two is and, yeah.
So what was it? It was
bacon is bacon.
Yeah.
Yep. So point to Robbie for that. To mame, you can work it out. If you think it's Japanese, you can work it out, because we've all heard of edamame, which is soybeans. So that is beans, and kohi is coffee. Yep.
Wow.
So the full four.
I've crushed that amazing, so hard.
I did think, when I was saying Italian, I thought maybe Japanese. Actually,
yeah, I mean, to be fair, you based it on the accent, and I don't think anybody's thrown out a strong Japanese accent on the podcast these days.
Yeah. Okay, so what's the point difference here?
So currently, Vittorio has 7, Robbie has 5, and there are 4 points on offer in the final one.
It's going to be tough. I've got to try and scrape a draw here.
It's the hardest one to say. So, is paniki omaleta e na croissant ke mia matomeni Maria?
So how many foods?
So there are 3 foodstuffs and the language.
Okay, so one more time, please, Dan.
Is paniki omaleta ena krawasan ke mia matomeni Maria.
Is it me first?
Do you want to go first?
Or do we do the person who is trailing first, and then there's a more sense of jeopardy?
Yeah, okay.
Wait, let me lock mine in.
All right. Should I go?
Yep.
I think it's Spanish.
You think the language is Spanish?
Yes.
Okay.
Now I think it's... I think the first... I think it's an omelette.
Okay.
Are you going to require more details for that? Or is that enough? Or maybe just not an omelette.
Yeah, we'll see.
I think it's an omelette. I think it's a croissant, and I think it's a Bloody Mary.
Okay. And Spanish.
Yes.
Okay.
I think I've got the last one wrong. I think it's Greek, and I think it's a Spanish omelette. I think it is a croissant, and I thought it was going to be like Mary Rose sauce, but I think a Bloody Mary is probably more likely.
Okay. So this is going to be difficult to score. So it is Greek.
Okay.
So 1 point. Yeah,
it's Greek when there's an iki.
Oh. Yeah.
Greeks love an iki.
And ispaniki is it's Spanish. It Spanish almost sounds omelet. Like a weird way to say Spanish. So it's Spanish omelette. So
I was going to say Spanish omelette when you said, are you talking about the language? Yeah. Well, that's a Spanish omelette. Yeah.
You did say omelette.
Yeah, and I would have given you more information had you not.
So because you said, do you need more info on the omelette?
I'll give you that.
I would have said
that's okay.
Okay, you both got a croissant.
Yeah.
Correct? Okay. And it is a Bloody Mary.
Nice. But it's not enough.
But it's not enough. It's 10 points to Vittorio. 8 points to Robbie.
You were right to be confident, Vittorio.
It was a good quiz, though. It was hard fought. That was great.
They can be a bit hit and miss, Dan. Yeah, we all remember the shame that was Mammal or Duck.
Oh, Mammal or Duck was a great game.
not sure, but that was you've excelled yourself there, Dan. Well done. I had a good scoring system.
I'm most buzzing that I spotted, even though they were all done in a Portuguese accent.
Yeah.
I'm buzzing that I got German, Japanese, and Greek.
Oh, yeah, you did.
I think that's solid.
That's your languages.
Your multinational heritage there coming through as a citizen of the world.
Yeah.
There we go. Fabulous.
Very good.
Okay. Well done, Dan.
Yeah.
Terrific. Let's hope this is a return to quiz form from you there. Brilliant. Right. Vittorio, we have to carry on making your dream pub here.
Mm-hmm.
Spirits time now. You get 2 spirits. What's your first choice?
Vodka. Not because I like vodka, but I'm just building up to a cocktail.
Oh,
I think vodka's
right, bad
and wrong, but there's a reason the milk's there as well.
Okay.
Shall we combine these into one Should we ask your second one now here? Because I think I can see where this is going here.
Kahlua.
Kahlua.
Vodka, Kahlua, get the full fat milk in.
Wow. We did not tell you what this bell was, Vittorio.
That's so exciting. I didn't even know there was a bell.
So the bell, this is something we probably should have discussed at the beginning.
Yeah.
Explain what your bell is, Dan. Bell what's is, just happening?
Yeah, I mentioned the estuary that froze over at the beginning. Well, when I first moved to the correct realm, I discovered a tugboat been abandoned in the estuary, and I liberated this bell from it. And what it basically means is that one of your drinks choices will appear on the bar as we're chatting. And
you don't have to drink it now?
You don't have to drink it now. But it is Kahlua, unfortunately, without the vodka or milk. Because I wasn't really aware of the
combination. You mean,
yeah, wow.
I'm aware of the cocktail. Yeah.
There's quite a lot of lore to this podcast.
No, it's great.
There we go. So you can have some, or you can... Yeah, when you can, that is yours to take away.
That's really nice. I'm not going to drink it.
I also will not drink the morning Kahlua.
Oh, fuck it. Let's have a little snifter of Kahlua.
A tiny
Jesus
taste.
Christ, what are we doing?
Right. Okay. So
people with real jobs can't do this. We might as well make the most of it. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
The most impressive thing about this is, of course, the speed at which you went from I'm not having that to fuck it, let's have some Kahlua.
What am I doing with the rest of my day? Yeah. Oh, I've spilled it.
Don't worry.
It's a generous portion as well.
Has anyone got any garlic bread?
Has anyone ever
said I'm delivering something?
Can you drink it neat?
Is it? You can drink anything neat.
Nobody's tried it before.
Yeah. Well,
so
okay.
We're going to give it a go.
Right. Lovely. Cheers.
To the moon.
We'll have our straight up. Yeah. Come on, let's have a go.
Oh, do you know what? That's really nice.
That's gorgeous. Really nice.
Why am I having mornings not on Kahlua?
Why is anyone drinking just coffee?
That's like those chocolates you get at Christmas.
That's unreal. Yeah.
That's so good.
I don't like coffee, and that's class.
I've been sleeping on Kahlua all this time. I'm middle aged, 46. I'll do pretty well to live to 92. Right, is that right? Yeah, 92. Yeah. I've wasted probably half my life without Kahlua in it.
It's a liquid quality street.
That's so fucking great.
Kahlua is amazing.
Oh my God.
I really didn't expect to have more than one sip of that.
No, I thought I'd have one taste. I didn't just talk lightly about it.
This is a delight.
Let's talk first about White Russians and where your love for them has come from.
It's the same as pretty much everybody who likes White Russians. It's partly that thing of like, The Bailey's thing when I first started drinking of like, I like ice cream and I like booze. Let's make my booze taste like ice cream, please. But I also used to make White Russians like wrong, which is actually a real disrespect to the drink we're drinking now. I used to do vodka, Bailey's and milk, which is kind of an even creamier, whiter Russian to some degree. Have you ever had a Black Russian?
I didn't know.
One of the worst things ever.
What is it? What's the black?
Vodka colored Coke.
Coke. Oh my God.
Yeah.
It's awful.
No, that doesn't sound good.
Awful. But I just love and also I make White Russians wrong in the sense that you're not supposed to shake them. They're supposed to be like poured over ice and just like stirred. Okay. And but if you shake them, it gets like frothy, like a milkshake.
Yeah.
Do you know the proportions they're supposed to be of a White Russian?
Equal parts everything.
Okay.
In my opinion.
Does it matter in which order you pour them in? It doesn't matter, I guess, if you're mixing them.
I think you put the vodka and Kahlua in the bottom and then the milk kind of cascades down and then it does that nice Guinness thing where as the milk hits the Kahlua, it kind of blossoms up, like the darkness blossoms up through the milk. Yeah. And technically it's supposed to be half and half rather than milk, which is why I went for full fat milk.
Okay.
So it's supposed to be like the kind of nether region between milk and cream.
Is that what half and half is?
It's half milk, half cream. Okay. It's like an American thing. You know where you get it over here, which is why I've gone for...
Oh, okay. I didn't realize
so that. Maybe like a... Because they have cream in their coffee. Like they'll get like single cream and just pour it in. So you could do that. But I think that's quite... So I think a full fat milk is a nice, happy medium.
It's really
fantastic.
Good.
And vodka, we'll talk about that for a bit. You're picking it purely for this drink. You're not a fan of it.
Purely for this drink. Although it does get mentioned in a later choice. It's so aggressive.
Yeah.
Like there's no goodness to it. Do you know what I mean? Like with like a rum or something, there's like if you have a rum and Coke, you're like, oh, that's got a nice like spiciness or sweetness to this, that, and the other. But a vodka and Coke is just a Coke with a bit of...
Even gin, there's a variety of different like flavors to it. With vodka, it does feel like you can get really bad vodka.
Yeah.
But even the good vodka, to me, just...
The best
is,
vodka tastes the least like vodka.
Right.
Like really good vodkas just becomes more and more drinkable.
Yeah.
And less just aggressive. Vodka's just, it just feels so functional. Of really? Like, oh, alcohol, yeah.
Dan, it was originally used as a medicine. I mean, that's what it was. It was an antibacterial agent to clean wounds. You know, when Donald Trump said we could might be able to do something with COVID by swallowing Domestos or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Like, actually, not that far away
from, from former medical.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
You, Dan, went on the Trans-Siberian Railway in your youth. And in fact, you've written a very good novel, Fuck with Chocolate Chasers. Thanks, is that still possible to get online?
I don't think so.
Oh.
You might be able to.
Maybe on eBay or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that Iron Brew man will be selling it.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Well, so you would have drunk a decent amount of vodka, presumably, on that trip. Tell us about Russian vodka.
Yeah, we drank quite a bit. The thing that I named the book after was actually, it was the next train that we took, which was from St. Petersburg to Poland.
Mm-hmm.
And we were in a train carriage with a couple of Russian truck drivers. And you can buy, they basically just buy cans of vodka, like in vending machines, like we buy Coke. And they were very nice. We couldn't speak any Russian, couldn't speak any English, and they were sharing their vodka with us. And then they had sort of this chocolate, and they went, "This is how you do it, and you drink vodka and then eat some chocolate."
Oh, that's
and
nice.
And we sat in this carriage with them. Yeah.
Did they speak much English?
No, not at all. I've got no idea what we said to each other. I just remember they were quite rough looking, but they were very nice and shared their vodka and chocolate.
But Russians' approach to booze is so mad, because I swear until like the 80s or 90s, like beer wasn't viewed as an alcoholic beverage.
Yeah.
Like anything under 12% was like, that's a soft drink for kids.
Wow.
Well, to be fair, we've heard about this in our other podcasts. In the sort of 17th, 18th century, kids did drink beer in this country because it was safer than water.
Yeah.
So maybe it's a bit of a hangover from that, I guess. But still.
I've mentioned this on here. Vittorio, do you know what the legal age in the UK that you can give a child alcohol is?
Like in your own home, give it to your kids?
What's the youngest child you can legally give alcohol to at home?
Oh, God. What sprung into my mind is like 8 or something absolutely insane like that, that you can give like a little like glass of wine or whatever. But it's probably, I'd say 13?
5.
Jesus Christ.
Well, yeah, I mean, there are. I mean, why are they in government doing other stuff where they've not sorted this out?
No, I love the thought that there's still some... Yeah. Bald man in Kent going, "It's a fucking nanny state. If I want to give my fucking toddler a fucking pint in the privacy of my own home."
I love the thought of someone's kid coming home from reception going, can I have a John Smith, Dad? Not till you're in year one, son.
Long day.
Like your brother. Yeah,
I coloured outside the lines.
That's mad, isn't it? Yeah. And Kahlua, do you have that in anything other than the White Russians? Is it just purely a White Russian?
I think it's purely a White Russian kind of, I can't think what else you would have Kahlua in other
Sprite
than...
Sprite now.
Every morning from now on.
Yeah.
I think
this is going to go brilliantly in a coffee as well. Sort of.
I think that's because people put like whiskey in a coffee or whatever, but I think this would blend so nicely with the coffee that you would hardly notice. Yeah.
Bailey's in a coffee is very nice. And this, I think, is just... Be fabulous. Is it called a coffee liqueur? Is that the name?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Do you know anything about the Kahlua company, Dan?
A little bit. I mean, it originated in Mexico in 1936.
Wouldn't have guessed that.
It takes 7 years to make it.
Wow.
And the word Kahlua is basically an old ancient Arabic word that's slang for coffee.
Why does it take 7 years? What are they doing for seven
years? I did read this.
It's how do you make Kahlua?
Yeah.
So they get the, there's a particular kind of coffee bean that they grow in the shade. And so it takes ages for it to reach fruition. It takes years for it to reach fruition, and then they get it out, and then they have the rest of the process. Takes about another year, but most of it is growing.
And
the
then
actual
do they
coffee.
Like ferment the coffee beans? Like, does the booze come from the coffee beans, or is it like basically vodka with coffee beans in it?
Well, it's made with 100% Arabica coffee, rum, and sugar.
Wow. Okay.
So the alcohols must be from the rum, I guess. Yeah.
Fabulous.
And then White Russian was invented in 1955 in Oakland, California.
Oh.
Kahlua. A terrific choice. So yeah, a great combination to create the White Russian.
Mm.
And a Big Lebowski in there as part of the thing?
Yeah, love that. There's a few films that I watch endlessly. In Bruges, Big Lebowski, Legend with the two Tom Hardys in it, and the Blues Brothers. Those are my, like, I will watch them all at least twice a year.
Blues Brothers is my favorite ever film,
it's,
I think.
Unbelievable.
I was lucky enough to go into a screening of it, and then the director, John Landis, was doing a Q&A afterwards. There's only about 30 of us there, and it was just basically chatting to him for half an hour until we eventually went, anyone got any questions? I went, no, we're out. And he went, all right, see you later.
Yeah.
It was amazing. It's such a good film.
Brilliant.
He was saying that he'd been asked to do this film, and I think Animal House had just done really well. Mm. Once he got asked to do it, and it had to be out for a certain date, like it was Christmas or something like that. He said, because of that, he goes, that's the best thing, because they'll just do what you want to get it finished. So they just basically started asking for, like, we want 150 cars to crash. And they were just going,
I love that scene. I love so that good. Scene. So cars just keep going.
He said they had like a sort of workshop, like on set, where basically the cars would get smashed up, get taken there, patched up, painted, go out again to get smashed up repeatedly, sort of thing, just until they couldn't be salvaged. It's incredible.
It's such a good movie. But yeah, Big Lebowski, really, really lovely. I dressed up as the Big Lebowski when I was in uni and went down to the SU bar, dressing gown, sandals, the whole thing, and had to bring my own milk because they didn't have milk behind the bar. So I gave it to my friend Peter again and was like, can you put that in the fridge and make me White Russians for the rest of the evening? And he was like, yeah.
It's great. Amazing. Wonderful. Well, there's no need to bring your own milk to your pub, Vittorio, because you have got that covered. Played a lot of comedy nights in pubs, I imagine, mm-hmm. over the years. Are there any particularly good comedy pubs around the country that you particularly enjoy?
I host a night and run a night twice a month at a pub called the Gladstone Arms in Borough. And
we've been there.
It's a wonderful pub.
Yeah.
I was there for Lloyd Griffith's 40th birthday as well recently. So I think
first went to that pub doing my gig.
Yeah, well, there you go then. Yeah.
Yeah. That's so funny. And I remember him asking, he asked for the phone number of the owner to book that party. That's wonderful.
Great pub.
Unbelievable pub. Tiny room upstairs.
Yes. Mm.
It just about seats 30 people. Mm. And it's just unbelievable to play. And the owners are so sound.
Mm.
All the staff are brilliant. Really good vibes in the pub. It's just enough off the high street that it's not like loads and loads of like randomers coming in, you know. It's not like people who are just like popping in or like tourists or whatever. It's people who know about it, and it's like little tucked away. It's like quite a famous music pub back in the day as well, like Ellie Goulding started there and like all sorts of different things. But yeah, I really love that.
And then have to come down. It's a great pub.
We had a guy called David Jesudarson on, he's been recently named, I think, Beer Writer of the Year or Pub Writer of the Year. And he's written a book about Desi pubs, or these pubs with Indian landlords and Pakistani landlords and stuff. And he was talking about that. That's why we first went to it. So it's a fabulous pub.
Great chicken tikka pie.
Mm. Yes. Yeah. I had that. You had the smashed paneer pie, didn't you?
I did. Delicious.
Good. So good.
Yeah. Wonderful. Okay. So great choice.
Good. Yeah, that's definitely my favorite.
Every week, Dan converses with a listener of the podcast to get a suggestion that can go in your pub.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to accept it. It's entirely up to you. We're just sort of crowdsourcing ideas to see whether you're interested. Dan, who are we talking to this week?
Talk to Neil this week.
Okay.
Let's see what he says.
Hey, this is Neil up in Edinburgh. My suggestion for Vittorio's pub is a bowling alley because who do you think you are? I am.
there's a theme coming here, isn't there, for this pub? Yeah. Oh, are you going for it?
Yeah, get a bowling alley in there. That's unbelievable. I think bowling alleys are fucking brilliant. That's in reference to my upcoming tour, Who Do You Think You Are? I Am. Yeah, which is on sale now, and you should all come along and all of those things. Yeah, it's named after a bowler. Well, it's named after a quote of a bowler in America, a guy called Pete Webber, who scores a strike to win a tournament and screams at the crowd, "Who do you think you are? I am."
Brilliant.
And it's kind of like this viral clip that I really, really love. And the whole show is about how he's my hero. And most people have never heard of him,
yeah,
which I think is so funny. But yeah, I'm really debating flying him over for one of the shows just for a fucking laugh. But I'm worried he doesn't have a passport because he's kind of like a redneck American guy.
Have you ever had any interaction with him or anything?
Yeah, well, this is a small spoiler for the show, but not a massive one. I paid him £100 on Cameo.
Okay.
So he, at my tour show and at the Fringe, I'm announced to stage by Pete Webber, who the show is about.
Oh, amazing.
Which is so good. I also love bowling shirts. I love the whole like look and vibe. I just think it's like, yeah, a very, it's like smart, but like, yeah, just nice and chill, you know, like a Tony Soprano-esque shirt.
Yeah,
type, like,
the, yeah, shoes are nice as well. I'd wear the shoes out about.
Yeah, the shoes are, yeah, good. Although I'm a Crocs man. I'm not wearing Crocs today, but I'm normally a Crocs boy.
I'm a Crocs at home, and I've long time champion Crocs as the ultimate indoor outdoor footwear. Yep.
Mm.
Have them by the back door, out in the garden, Crocs on.
They're a great by the back door shoe, Crocs. Yeah. Really, really good. I'm trying to get an endorsement, but I'm trying to get my own like collab with Crocs.
That's good.
Do you know, like Michael Jordan had Jordans?
Yeah.
I want to have like the Vittorios, but they're,
they
Crocs.
They've become quite, yeah, cool, haven't they, Crocs?
I mean, it would sound really cool if you got your Vittorio Crocs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If anyone from Crocs is listening, please, yeah, give me a line of Crocs.
They've become quite cool, haven't they? Because there was certainly a time where they weren't. Do you?
I don't want them to be cool.
I'm sure.
I want them
you.
To be comfy. I want them to be for people who value comfort. But I saw a woman yesterday on the tube who was wearing Balenciaga boots that were like a collab with Crocs. So they were like up to her knees, black leather boots, but then the front of them kind of looked Croc-ish.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't like that. Crocs shouldn't be collaborating with Balenciaga. They should be collaborating with me.
Or Iron Brew. that sort of stuff with milk. fair enough. So the bowling alley is a great shout. Would you go for your own bowling ball with like something in it or something? You know, you get some guys over there really good bowling balls with their own design and stuff.
Oh yeah, I don't know what I would put on my own bowling ball.
Is it Kingpin, God, where he's got like a rose in it or something, isn't he?
Yeah, and then in the Big Lebowski, obviously, there's a bowling theme as well with Jesus.
Yeah,
you know, the guy who turns out to be like a sex offender.
Eight-year-old dude. Yeah. I've been to a couple of pubs. For some reason, I think they were both in the Midlands where they have Skittle alleys, which is like mini bowling.
Yeah.
It's amazing. They're really good, really good fun.
So excited. Bowling's great. I mean, the next day, you're so sore. See, if you played like a good chunk of bowling the day before, like it's muscles you just never use really. It's also like so frustrating because you so rarely play bowling. And every time you do it, you're like, oh, I'm shit at this.
But what I like about it is that everyone I know is the same level at bowling.
Yeah.
Like, it's not fun if you play there's someone who's good at.
Yeah,
you know what
I mean?
Something like that. It's the same, like, everyone I know is about the same level at tennis as well. I know you can get better at tennis.
Yeah.
But no one plays it enough to be good. So you can have a sort of competitive bowling or tennis match with pretty much anyone I know. It's quite good.
And there's variations on bowling if somebody is good. Get the rails up.
Yeah.
Bang. Yeah. Use the ramp.
I've got one guy I know, Tiger, he spent a year at uni in America and just did bowling every day. So he's like actually good at bowling. He's like, well, there's no, you just can't play.
Yeah, it's just.
Because what's the fuck going to be fun for anyone?
Boring.
Yeah. Mm. Wonderful. Okay, so that's in.
That's brilliant. I think, put the bowling. But can we have like a door between pub and bowling? I don't want the noise. If people want like a quiet pint, can we have it like a function room at the back where there's bowling?
Will there be a bar in there as well?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
There's a really nice one in the basement, and I've never been, but I've seen really nice pictures. The Ham Yard Hotel in Soho has a really cool like 70s style bowling alley in the basement.
Nice.
Looks really cool. I really wanted to do the tour photo shoot there, but they did not reply to my email.
Sad scenes. If you have a suggestion for something that could go into a future pub, you can email me, robbie@moonunderpod.com, with your artistic vision. Now, Vittorio, we get to put in one CD or mini disc into the pub jukebox. What are you going to select?
I have two options, and they're both going to ruin most customers' time at the pub. One of them is an album by Lou Reed. Mm-hmm. Do you know Lou Reed? Take a Walk in the Wild. It's very chill, very nice. But it's an album of his called, it's either Metal Machine Music or Machine Metal Music. And it's basically he had a contract with a record company for a certain number of albums.
Right.
And then he no longer wanted to be part of the contract and no longer wanted to make albums for them because they were kind of fucking him over financially. So he created, I think, two albums of just the most horrific feedback. And every track's like 16 minutes long. And it's just like... And it's completely unlistenable. But I love just the lore of a big middle finger to corporate people who are fucking over an artist.
To
read, he was like, well, I've made an album.
So technically, it's ready. It's malicious compliance, isn't it?
There's nothing in the contract said it had to be good.
To read the Wikipedia here, Metal Machine Music is the fifth studio album by American rock musician Lou Reed. It was recorded in a 3-speed Ooh machine. Ooh. And was mastered and engineered by Bob Ludwig. It was released a double album in July 1975 by RCA Records, but taken off the market 3 weeks later.
That's great that they actually put it out there.
Yeah, they have.
A radical departure from the rest of his catalogue, the Metal Machine Music album features no songs or recognizably structured compositions, eschewing melody and rhythm for modulated feedback and noise music guitar effects mixed at varying speeds by Reed. There we go.
So you talked about being a barman and the people who aren't your friends won't leave. I mean, great album to put on.
Yeah, you whacked that on full blast.
Yeah.
They're getting
They'll
out.
Soon be out the door.
They're getting out.
Yeah.
And the other one for slightly more, maybe Metal Machine Music is in the evenings, but during the day, there's a lovely Scottish poet called Ivor Cutler, who I love the way certain Scottish people say poem, because they say poem, and I just think that's lovely. And he has an album called Jammy Smears, which is a mixture of like funny little silly songs and also some of the most beautiful poetry you've ever heard read by quite an old Scottish man. And it just really like settles. It really relaxes me listening to an old Scottish man read his strange, surreal poetry.
So you walk into your pub in an afternoon and then the order and then you see, what's that? And then you're transported into a world like of...
weird like shit organ thing that just kind of does like a drone. It's like and he's there like, you are the center of your little world and I am of mine. Now and again we meet for tea, we're two of a kind. And it's just so lovely. And
it
just like
sound lovely. Oh, sound lovely.
It's just like,
I've never heard it. The opening track is called Bicarbonate of Chicken.
Yeah, waiter, what do you want? Where's my bicarbonate of chicken?
I'll pick up the ones I'm curious for. Rubber Toy.
Oh, I don't know Rubber Toy off the top of my head.
Fisty Man, that's only 8 seconds long, right at the end of side one. Love, this looks exciting. Cage of Small Birds, 18 seconds long. Lemon Flowers, 1:02. They're not the traditional length of songs here, but I will certainly be listening to this on my way back to Norwich later on.
There's a really funny poem about he's walking along next to a river and he hears a man shout, help! And he goes, what an arresting voice. I'm going to see who it is. Help! And he looks over and it's a guy drowning in the river and he goes, wow, what an incredible voice. And then walks off.
Fabulous. Well, I'm afraid legally you're only allowed to put one of these in. So which is going to be?
Let's put the lovely Scottish poetry so anyone can sit in the pub for any length of time.
Fabulous. That sounds an excellent, presumably excellent choice. I'll listen on the way home and let you know.
Yeah.
It is now time for a drinking time where the Moon Underwater will transport you back through the very fabric of time to relive a drink that you've had in the past on an occasion in the past.
My first post-divorce pint. The gin I had in Hull, my nan's homemade buckfast. The rum I drank with Liz Hurley. The lager I stole from the pigeon detectives.
What moment in time would you like to be transported back to, and what are you drinking?
So when I started working at the student union bar at my university called the Basement Bar, it had just changed management from a very strange man who didn't really know what he was doing and turned out didn't have an alcohol license to be managing a bar whatsoever. But he had bought such an obscene amount of like really nice whiskies, really nice vodkas, really nice spirits for a student bar where pints are £1 on a Tuesday. And it's like, nobody's buying these. So as the management changed, I started working there. When we would have drinks after work, the kind of financially savvy thing to do was just to drink the stuff that nobody was buying and we needed to get rid of. So we were just sat in the bar after work drinking Grey Goose vodka and Pessoa. Have you ever had Pessoa?
No. Is that a passion fruit?
Beautiful passion fruit liqueur. So this is the thing about vodka, the better it gets, just the less it tastes of vodka. If you have Grey Goose and Pessoa over ice, you don't need a mixer. Like, they're both spirits. But if you just have a double Grey Goose and double Pessoa poured over like an ice cube, it's just the tastiest thing ever. And I just drank them after work like every night for such a long time until we ran out of Grey Goose. And then we moved on to Belvedere vodka. This is the number of unbelievable spirits we had behind the bar.
That's some brave ordering for a student.
Yeah, it's absolutely wild. We had like multiple like old whiskies.
Did he just buy them for himself? Was he just
basically sort of going, yeah. And he had an idea because my uni was like in central London. He was like, oh, it'll be a student bar, but also like professionals will come down from like the back. And I'm like, well, no, you need a student ID to get in. So there's no hope of that.
Could I have been ordering these drinks for the last 10 years?
Yeah. I can see why management changed.
Yeah, for sure.
So who would you be drinking these drinks with? Who was there at the time?
Azzy, who was the, which is short for Ausker, my Icelandic friend, who grew up in London, but I think he's half Icelandic. And he was the bar manager when he was there, big beardy fella, used to play the double bass. And we would just sit and drink and talk nonsense. And I had so many strange nights working there. I remember once, because I was like the vice president of the students' union for a couple of years.
Oh, wow.
We got like invited to some drinks reception at the House of Commons. Like the whole SU got invited, as in like the whole like SU executive team or whatever got invited. And I was the only one who replied to the email. So I went by myself to a drinks reception at the House of Commons with like all like MPs and like SU presidents from all around the country. But because mine was such a small uni, it wasn't like a full-time job. You did it alongside your studies, whereas most of the time you take a year off and do your kind of vice president thing. So I was there and I didn't want to talk to any of the MPs or the SU people, because people who work for SUs are freaks. Like they want to be politicians, but they're at uni. It's like, no, why do you want more responsibility? It's like such a strange thing to want to do. And I just did it. But I genuinely only became vice president of my students' union because there was only one person running to be vice president and I hated him.
A spite politician.
Yeah, I was like, it can't be him.
Yeah.
So is no one else going to go for this?
Yeah.
So I just did that. But I got absolutely shitbagged at this House of Commons drinks reception because the events agency that were staffing it, like the waiters and people with the canapes and stuff, I worked for that events agency at other events. So I knew loads of the like agency staff working there with the canapes. So I was just stood by the bar, just getting like fucked up at the House of Commons with people I was normally working. They were like, why are you in a suit? I was like, oh, I'm at this one. And then just got so smashed. And I was the only person there who had like a job aside from the SU stuff. And I was like, oh, I have to go work a shift at this like SU bar. So I showed up to work just absolutely blitzed.
So sorry, just come from the House of Commons. Yeah. Smashed.
Yeah. In a suit coming from the House of Commons, just being like, yeah, fuck it, man. I'll be all right.
That's brilliant. What was it like in the House of Commons? Was it like in a pub bit? Was it in a function room type thing? Or?
I think it was like a pubish, function roomish type thing. And I heard Labour MP slagging off Jeremy Corbyn. I was like, you fucking bastards.
He swayed over there with you. Drunk. Like, what did he say?
Throwing cocktail sausages at them. You piece of shit.
Now it's time to find out Vittorio's dream pub companion, but that is only for those of you who have invested in the Moon Underwater Patreon. If you want to find out how to do that, you can go and subscribe at moonunderpod.com. And for the rest of you, we'll be back after this short advertisement.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare coverage at UH1.com. That's UH1.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with Plush Care. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Welcome back to all the non-Patreon subscribers. And a lovely What? The booing of Vittorio, not... Yeah, appreciates all its patrons.
Anyone who listens with... Yeah, yes.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. You are barred.
It's now time, however, to decide what you don't want in your pub. You get to bar something from this pub. What's it going to be?
Those punching machines. You know, the who punches the hardest things. I think they ruin the vibe of any venue they're in.
Do you get them often? Do you see them much?
Beer gardens and the odd like roughish pub kind of towards the toilets. It's just like it brings out an awful side of awful men.
Yeah. We went into, I remember on Mental Wednesday, we went to a pub in London Bridge that had one of those, didn't
they? Did we?
Yeah, right at the end of the night, there were some terrifying looking men just punching this thing.
And then, it's off and it's just like that noise of like, ka-kung, ka-kung, every so often. You're just like, oh, it's just put such a tension into the room. Yeah, I'm like, there's no, whatever little bits of money you're making from this, it's not worth the atmosphere ruining that's happening.
It's like people are warming up for a fight.
It's like
the only people that do it are people that can smash it. Because someone like me who wouldn't be able to do it will go, well, why would I do it? Because everyone's going to look at me.
Just hurt my hand.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Yeah, I just think it's awful. And then even that kind of extends out to like, I hate boxing on TVs. I don't mind TVs in pubs, but like when there's boxing on and like everybody's there to watch it, awful vibe. Because it's just people who want to fight.
Was it you who said you went to a boxing match and it was, or was it Jim, like saying it was, the atmosphere was horrific.
I worked at a boxing match once at like the Excel Center. It's just people who want to fight.
Yeah. I was, on Saturday night, I was in a pub in Liverpool and it was, they had like a musician playing over the acoustic guitar and he was playing Wonderwall, and on every TV, they had UFC and it was someone just getting pummeled. It was horrible. When he got picked up and slammed on his head, you can see his head fly up and blood comes spurting out. But there were so many TVs. It was, and I was like, I don't want to watch that.
It's jarring.
It's not nice. And he's just saying, today is going to be the day. Something has brain damage. It was horrendous. I think this is not what I want.
It's a bad vibe. Bad vibe. Combat sports in pubs, bad.
Yeah.
Bad across
the board. No sports in pubs?
No, I like football on the TV, happy with. I'm a big rugby fan. I really like rugby on the TV, all that stuff. But yeah, combat sports.
No one getting brain damage.
Yeah, it just ruins all the rugby.
Well, rugby.
But yeah, I think
combat. No one getting brain damage now, but in the long term.
Yeah. I think I'm more of a slow brain damage guy.
That's like a possible I know we've not got to naming it yet, but the slow brain damage is possible, possible title for you there. Yeah, I've got no objections to that, Dan, have you?
I mean, no, not at all.
It's Victoria's Pub, can have what he wants.
Yeah.
I think if I went in, if I looked through the window of a pub and there was a punching machine, I think I'd go, let's keep walking
there. Let's go somewhere else.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. It's not something I come across a lot, but good to stamp out when we do see it.
If the salesman comes around, they're going to be.
No, thank you. No. Pool table. I love a pool table.
Yeah.
Victoria, you've got a new tour coming up, the one that you did in Edinburgh.
Yes.
That you've mentioned before. When is it? And explain the concept in a bit more detail to it.
Concept, it's a fun show. It's really hard. Like I always think when people get asked to describe stand-up comedy shows, they talk about the theme of the show. I mean, broadly, the point is it's really funny and you're going to have a good time watching it. Broadly, it's about identity and trying to figure out who I am outside of the groups that I belong to. I think people are very into groups these days and the kind of teams that they want to be part of. And I wanted to figure out, it's got to be more to you than just there's safety in groups, but I think there's also kind of danger in relying on other people. So there's a bit of a theme in there. It's also about how Pete Webber, the bowler, is my hero, which is fun. But it's a really fun show. I had a really fun time doing it and it got much better over the course of the Edinburgh Fringe. So I'm taking it all around the UK through to April. We've just recently extended it with a bunch of extra dates kind of all over the place. I'm aware there are some places, some people in some towns that when they hear someone is going all around the UK, they assume, oh, he's not coming to my town. I'm coming to some real shitholes.
If you live in a shithole, you don't worry.
I'm coming to so many towns in England that I have never heard of.
Yeah.
So have a look on the website. I'm probably coming somewhere nearby. You know, I've had people be like, why don't you come to this place? And I'm like, I am. Yeah, I am. I know even you're surprised that you live there, but I am.
You didn't even look before you had to go.
You just assumed I wouldn't.
Yeah. I just always look to see who's coming to Norwich. If they're not, I consider it like a personal.
I'm doing Norwich.
I know you are.
I'm doing the Arts Centre.
You are indeed. Lovely venue.
Lovely Arts.
Terrific.
Centre.
Yeah, really good. Great pubs across the road as well.
Yeah.
No, I'm there by the half time.
I'll be there. yeah, fabulous. You talked about in your show Translations, you're talking about how shows have a 40 minutes, there's a sad bit in a lot of these sort of things. Have you managed to get a sad bit for this one?
Yeah, the 40 minutes is so sad, man. It's so sad. There's so many sad bits. That's what you want. That's what give the people what they want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, good. We're glad to be, because I'm only going, there's going to be a little bit of sadness, followed by an uplifting end. Maybe with a little callback.
Yeah, the last 5 minutes is pretty largely about cum.
Sad cum?
No, happy cum.
Happy cum, okay.
Good happy cum.
another potential pub title.
Happy cum lucky.
Yeah, and
trans- about how you shout, do you know who I am? Do you know who you are?
As well as that, people want to see Translations on YouTube, isn't it?
Yes, it is. People keep congratulating me on it. It's so funny. They're like, oh, congrats on the special. And I'm like, do you mean me spending all of my savings on a YouTube video? Is that what you're congratulating me on? The world is fucked.
Yeah.
I have made, it's been demonetized as well.
Is it?
Because I see some mad shit in it, but it's just like not, it's like limited monetization. So I think I've made like £16 in ad revenue.
Yeah, there's the mental companies that will go with that.
You know what I mean?
Landmines advertising on it.
So if you would like to, I'm really happy with it. It came out really, really well. And the reason I filmed it is because I was really proud of the show. And I think it's so sad when people spend such a long time working on these shows that they do in the Fringe and maybe they take on tour and then they just disappear and nobody ever gets to see them again. I just think, I'm going to commit that. And I'm sure in a couple of years' time, I'll go, oh, I could have done that better. I could have done this better. But it's a little snapshot of where I was at that point. And I'm still really proud of it. I think it's really, really good. Worth watching.
It's excellent. Well, well worth watching. And Victoria will get his 100th of a pence ad revenue if you get through that.
Oh, it's coming out on, we're soon to bring it out on like vinyl. And I'm going to pop it on Spotify as well. So if you'd like more of a passive experience of the show, then that's probably a handy thing to do.
That's interesting, vinyl, because I was talking to someone, I met a guy in the summer at Ken Bacalling Festival who runs a vinyl plant, and he was talking about how it's become more practical to release things on vinyl than it has been for a long time. Something interesting. Vinyl chat. And if you want to get tickets for the show, is there anywhere particularly you go? I mean, maybe we can work out how to do it, but
VittorioAngeloni.com/tour. Best of luck spelling all of that.
Drink up, please.
It's time.
Right, it is now time for the final part here. We have to name your pub. Vittorio, what are we calling this milk-filled masterpiece?
No offence, but I hate English people. And
I like the way you left that till the end.
I will reinforce my Scottish.
Been sitting here. Oh, yeah, yeah. It's just me.
Yeah,
go on.
I love English people and I think they're great. Some of my best friends are English. there's just little aspects of Englishness that I go, what? Pub and pub names is one of them. Like all English pubs are called like Ye Old Frog and Ball Bag or whatever. But in Ireland, it's like, who owns the pub? A guy called Ryan. What should we call the pub? Ryan's Pub. It's over.
Yeah. I went to Athlone to the oldest pub in the world, Sean's Bar.
Yeah, Sean's Bar.
That's the oldest bar in the world.
Because Sean owns it and Sean's going to be there. Yeah. So as a little twist on that, when my family moved over from Italy, my great grandfather, he was called Vittorio and he opened an ice cream shop in Belfast and it was called Victor's Cafe because they didn't want to necessarily give away that they were immigrants or whatever, but still got burned down by racists. Separate issue. But I would love for Victor's Cafe, the name, to be kind of reinvigorated in my kind of mythical pub. So I think the pub will be called Victor's Cafe.
Lovely. Fabulous choice. A lovely, lovely, nice end to it.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Dan, would you like to recap what Vittorio is taking away in his pub?
So on draft, Guinness and Guinness 0%. Bottle choices, iron brew, but must be original recipe glass bottles. Available for £109.75 on eBay.
Less Vittorio's markup.
Full fat milk, which will help with the spirit choices of vodka and Kahlua to make White Russians. You've accepted listener suggestion by Neil for it to have a bowling alley. Does need to be in a separate function room. Jukebox choice, Ivor Cutler's Jammy Smears, some lovely poetry. Drinking time was Grey Goose vodka and, how do you say it, Passoa.
Passoa.
You've barred punching machines and combat sports on the telly, and you've called your pub Victor's Cafe.
Vittorio, thank you so much for coming and joining us in the Moon and Water. It's now time for you to return to the other realm. Goodbye.
Thank you so much for having me.
Deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.